Welcome, everybody, to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and today we're going to wrap up this month's technology article talking about artificial intelligence. We're so thankful that you've joined us today to study English with us. We hope that you learn some new words and some new concepts, and that you could learn new ways to communicate some pretty techie stuff. We're in a technology article, as I said, and some of the vocabulary is a bit advanced. Of course, that's what we're doing here at Advanced Studio Classroom. So you have to put your thinking caps on and follow us. We're talking about robots and computers and algorithms. Well, again, with us today in the studio is Serena. Welcome back, Serena.
Hi, thank you, Steve. It's good to be here.
And we have Gordon. Welcome back, Gordon.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back and looking forward to picking up where we left off yesterday.
Yes, I am too. But before we do that, as is my habit, I like to go back to the day before, just pick one concept to summarize and review for our friends listening. So let's do that. And Gordon, why don't you go first? What concept or point would you like to reiterate?
I found it very interesting yesterday that we learned that artificial intelligence is not as advanced as we may imagine, as we have thought about and written about in science fiction. We learned the phrase that artificial intelligence and computers are less than stellar students. They're not that good at learning compared to humans.
Okay, good point. How about you, Serena?
Well, yesterday we talked about a learning program designed by a trio of researchers, and we talked about that word trio, and here it means a group of three people.
All right. My little point I'd like to make, I love words, you guys, you know that, and I wanted to point out the word sophisticated on line 16. We know that it means clever in a complicated way, but I like the prefix. I want to point that out, the prefix S-O-P-H, soph, and that's the prefix from the Greek, and it means wisdom. And so if you know the word sophomore in college, in high school, if you're a sophomore, that means there's some wisdom involved. And somebody might have the name Sophia, right? Sophia, that means wisdom. So I like that, and I wanted to point that out to you. My love of English words comes out sometimes in talking about different parts and components of words. Okay, let's get to today's lesson now on the right-hand side. We're on page 21, moving over to day 12. Today is the 12th of May, and so let's turn to page 21 for the reading.
The scientists built an algorithm with an approach called Bayesian Program Learning, or BPL, a probability-based program that is resilient to a certain amount of deviation. This algorithm is actually able to build concepts as it goes. In a set of experiments, the scientists tested the program using many examples of 1,623 handwritten characters from 50 different writing systems from around the world. In a one-shot classification challenge, the scientists showed humans and the computer program a single image of a new character, and then asked them to pick another example of that same character in a set of 20. People were quite good at this, with an average error rate of 4.5%, but BPL slightly edged them out, with a comparable error rate of 3.3%.
All right, friends, once again, I'm going to ask you to put your thinking caps on. This part of the lesson is a little deep, and it's a little technical, so let's take our time going through this. We'll start on the line 17 on the left side. The scientists built an algorithm, and once again, an algorithm is a set of rules or instructions to solve a problem, and we use algorithms in our brain, And scientists now are trying to create algorithms in computers to learn new ways of doing things. So they're building algorithms with an approach called Bayesian Program Learning, or BPL. Do you have a good handle on that, Gordon? Can you explain that a little bit, what that is?
The Bayesian Program Learning. Well, we learn here that it's a probability-based program that is resilient to a certain amount of deviation.
Right. It predicts the maximum probability or likelihood of something happening. So it kind of, it kind of predicts something. It's predicting. It's not exact, but it does the likelihood or the probability of something happening. It's a probability-based program. And it's resilient to a certain amount of deviation. Let's look at that word resilient, Serena. What does that mean?
Resilient means to be able to quickly return to a previous good condition.
Okay. So it's kind of like, it's quite clever, actually. And this algorithm is actually able to build concepts as it goes. So it will go forward in processing information, and when something new comes along, new information to instruct it, it will change a little bit, but not too much, and like learn as it goes. Is that a good way to describe it, Gordon?
I think that's correct, yeah. It's using probability, so it's using these odds to work out which is the best way to go, and we've learned that it doesn't have deviation, and deviation means going astray, going down the wrong path. And this is really interesting about AI. We talk about algorithms being a set of instructions, but the complex thing about AI is, in some ways, it needs to begin to write its own future algorithms, that it can't just stick to a basic set of instructions that humans have written. In its learning, it's going to create new instructions and new rules.
That's a good point. In our lives, there's always something coming up that we don't anticipate, and there's always new challenges in our lives, and new problems even that come up that are unforeseen. And so to create a computer program to anticipate those things, it has to happen for it to be successful, because there's always going to be unforeseen circumstances that come up, and a computer needs to be able to be flexible and deal with those circumstances, right? Well, in a set of experiments, the scientists tested the program using many examples of over 1,600 handwritten characters from 50 different writing systems from around the world. Okay, this is kind of cool. I know on my smartphone, talking about characters and computers, you know, I don't know if you guys have this. I'm sure some of you might. You have the cell phone with the Chinese character writing. You can write a Chinese character on your phone, right? When you're doing text or whatever. And I just find that so fascinating that I could write something on some glass and my cell phone will recognize it. Even if it's sloppy or if it's not written correctly, it will take what I've written and give me a good guess as to what it is. And it's pretty clever and it's very accurate. And so I'm thinking that might be some helpful way to discuss what's going on here, right? They're talking about writing characters and recognizing those characters.
Speaking of handwriting, there are actually handwriting robots you can actually pay to pen your letters or your thank you notes or birthday cards. But you have to actually pay them. So if you're fed up with writing thank you notes, like a lot of businessmen are, or they have to do, they could always pay a handwriting robot to pen.
That is cool.
Yes.
So the robot has an actual pen in its hand?
I don't know if it's an actual pen. I know it's some kind of machine.
Would that be different than a printer?
Yes, it's very different.
How different is it from just printing it?
Well, I know, like, customers, they can even, like, choose from different fonts, like from formal design, stylish design. I don't know exactly how it works, but if you don't feel like writing a thank you note or a card, then they can do it for you if you pay.
That's hilarious. Yeah. If you pay.
If you pay.
You keep going back to that. You have to pay the robot.
Would you like to receive a thank you note from a robot?
Well, if they've written it really well, you're not going to know that it's from a robot as opposed to from a person.
I find that hilarious. You have to pay the robot. What do you pay the robot? In bitcoins?
I think it costs about $200.
For a handwritten note? By a robot?
Yeah, for this service, which is located in New York.
Oh,
for
my
this
goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose there must be a company behind these robots that built the robots and designed them, and they're the ones getting the money.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, well, let's get back to the lesson on line 26, Gordon. Take us into this paragraph, please.
So the researchers had a challenge where they pitted humans against computers, it seems, and they showed both the humans and the computers a single image of a new character, and then they asked them to pick another example of that same character from a set of 20.
Okay, and so they have to find or match something up, right?
Yeah, that sounds, I think, pretty easy, pretty
it's a
doable.
Match game, yeah.
Picking one out of 20, I think, like, using our recognition skills, that should be okay.
I was surprised that that people had an error rate of 4.5%. I thought it would be much lower. I thought humans would do much better in this matching game.
Well, I suppose if they mentioned earlier that there were 1,623 handwritten characters, and we've seen how complicated characters can be. You talked about the Chinese characters for the words, and there can be subtle differences between them.
So. Okay, sure.
So I guess if these are unfamiliar characters to the human contestants,
okay.
It's not just like recognizing A or B or C.
Well, there's a picture at the top of page 21 with a human hand and a robot hand writing characters, and that might give us some idea of what we're talking about with these deviations and little permutations of the squiggly lines. So maybe that's not so bad as I thought. But the BPL actually edged them out with a comparable error rate of 3.3. So the robot did better. Is that what we're hearing here?
Yeah, we are. The word comparable means it's similar to the human error rate. So 3.3% and 4.5%, that's not that different. I'm sure if you did many tests, you'd probably get different percentages, and maybe it shows that the humans and the computer are basically on par at the same level.
Okay. Wow. I would have thought that the humans would have done better. Maybe they need a little cheerleading for that. All right. Well, let's go to the reading now at the right-hand side. We'll go to the top of the right-hand column and finish up our reading today about artificial intelligence.
The scientists also challenged the program and some human participants to draw new versions of various characters they presented. They then had human judges take a look at the human-produced and algorithm-produced sets and try to determine which ones were made by man and which were made by machine. As it turned out, the humans were barely as good as chance at figuring out which set of characters was machine-produced and which was created by humans. Applying the research. The findings could be used to improve a variety of technologies in the near term, including for other symbol-based systems such as gestures, dance moves, and spoken and signed language. But the research could also shed fresh light on how learning happens in young humans, the scientists pointed out. Although our work focused on adult learners, it raises natural developmental questions, the study authors wrote. If children learning to write acquire an inductive bias similar to what BPL constructs, the model could help explain why children find some characters difficult and which teaching procedures are most effective.
Okay, thank you, Luke. And friends, if you've just joined us, we are on page 21 in your Advanced Studio magazine. We're talking about technology, and my name is Steve, and with me in the studio is Serena and Gordon. We're talking about artificial intelligence, how it just got a lot smarter. I'm not sure about a lot. I think it's improving and it's growing, but this is one field that seems to be going at a slower pace, slower than we anticipated. Artificial intelligence is, it's cool. It's cool to talk about, and it's interesting, but I think, that's my personal opinion, that we have underestimated our human brain, and we've overestimated our ability to create this artificial intelligence. That's my opinion. So it's going much slower than people hoped, I think. Right, Gordon?
Yeah, and we've discussed this before, and I think that's right. They're making small steps, and today we've been specifically talking about computers' ability to recognize characters of handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
We're now going to look a little bit about them being able to write the characters themselves. But this is a very small part of our own intelligence.
Right.
Important, but just one part. So if you're going to build computers that can do all the really complicated parts of our intelligence, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, this is just one minute aspect of our human brain, is being able to match a character from a pool of 20 characters. That's a very, very basic thing. So let's learn more as we go to the top. Serena, please take us into this next paragraph.
It says scientists challenged the program, and some human participants drew some new versions of various characters that they presented.
Mm-hmm.
So they then had human judges take a look at the human produced and algorithm produced sets and try to determine which ones were made by man and then which ones were made by machine.
All right. Can you break this down for us, Gordon? It's just another challenge that they've presented between the computers and the humans, right?
Yeah, it was another test. See who was going to do better. So the computers and the humans have both learned some characters. They got them to write them, and then they looked at these characters. They had a set of judges who didn't know who had written it, and they had to say which ones were written by humans and which characters were written by the computer. And we learned that they couldn't really predict which ones were humans and which one was the computer.
Like, right.
We learn in the next paragraph it's the same as chance, which I guess is basically 50-50 here. To say if you flip a coin, you could say, well, this one's human, this one's computer.
This reminds me of what Serena mentioned earlier about buying a handwritten thank you note written by a robot.
Right.
And so if the person who's receiving the note can't tell if it was written by a robot, that's great.
Right.
That's what you want, right?
How would you feel if you found out a thank you note you received was written by a robot? Would you feel offended?
I would feel slighted. It depends who, yeah, if it was...
Yeah, I guess it depends who it's from, right?
If it's from my girlfriend, yeah, it'd be kind of cold, right?
Right.
Like she doesn't care enough to write it herself. But if it's from... like a buddy from college, and he said, hey, check this out. It's a handwritten note by a robot. Be like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. How would you feel,
It's interesting,
Gordon?
Like, why would we feel different about that than just, say, a printed letter? You can, if you write someone a letter, you can choose to handwrite it, or you can choose to type it up on a computer and print it out. People like to receive signed letters, even if they're printed, so just the signature at the bottom is handwritten. I guess maybe the robots are being used to do that as well, just to sign off these letters.
I'm sure we've all done this. We've gotten a letter, kind of an official letter, maybe an acceptance from a letter saying you're accepted to a school or something. And then there's a handwritten signature at the bottom, right? And you check it, because sometimes that could be printed.
Right.
Right? Because the person is so busy, they don't have time to sign all these things. And so... You've done this, right? You've took it up to the light and you've checked to see if it was printed or really handwritten. Have you done that?
Yeah. Definitely, because nowadays you can just write your signature once, take a picture of it or scan it onto your computer, and then anyone printing the letter can just attach that signature to the bottom.
Yeah, we all want the personal touch. And that's something we're going to lose when we delve into artificial intelligence.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
There's something sentimental about handwriting, right?
Yeah, there is.
Yourself.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much to talk about in that regard.
Right.
How many of you, when was the last time you wrote a letter with your handwriting?
I love writing, actually.
Do you write letters?
I prefer,
and send
I do.
Them through the mail?
I do actually prefer writing than typing on the computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I think it's, I don't know. Like I said earlier, I write very italic. It's just fun for me. I've always enjoyed writing, like handwriting.
Okay.
So.
I think there must be some computer software out there that could imitate Serena's handwriting.
I wonder.
And so when she presses a T on the computer, it will come out the way you normally write a T.
Oh.
Or a U. I'm sure there must be some.
Yeah.
So maybe...
That'd be kind of freaky to see, though.
You could imitate your own handwriting.
Yeah.
But maybe there's part of the actual drawing process, like using the pen and the brushstrokes on the paper that Serena likes, rather than just pressing the button on the computer.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, the feeling I get when I write, it's just kind of peaceful.
There is a definite therapeutic value to that, and I do have friends who prefer sending letters rather than emails, and there is something cold and detached about using computer technology to communicate. It's more personal, and the person who is receiving the letter might appreciate it more too.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely try to do it sometimes. At Christmas, for example, I'd send Christmas cards often, and they're handwritten, or when I go on holiday, I might send some postcards, and they're handwritten as well.
Uh-huh.
And I know people love to receive that rather than just say an email.
Right. And the past couple of years, I've been receiving a lot of e-cards, like e-Christmas cards on the computer, rather than getting cards, in the mail. So it's not very, personal.
She's like, what? Delete!
Okay, listen,
I'm
old fashioned. Serena, a e-card.
She'll delete it right off the bat. All right, let's get back to the lesson. And it says in line 8 that the humans were barely as good as chance at figuring out which set of characters was machine-produced and which was created by humans. Come on, humans. What's going on here? I thought the humans are worrying me now. Because this is the second time we're finding out that the humans are less than stellar. I mean, it's comparable, the author is saying. The humans are comparable to the computer technology.
I'm wondering now whether the computer technology works in some mistakes into the handwriting. Whenever we write, if you write at length, you're going to make a couple of mistakes. Your misspellings, or just you've drawn the wrong character, you've missed a character out, and then you've had to scribble over it. I wonder if the computer does the same.
I'm going to say it does.
Because otherwise it's going to be obvious. If you have two letters and one is perfect and one is a couple mistakes, you'd be like, well, this one's probably human and that one's probably computer.
Oh, man. I've got to root for the humans some more. Go humans.
I wonder if the robots are righties, like most humans, when they write.
If they're what?
Righties.
Righties.
They use a right hand.
Well, the robot on the picture is righty.
Righty.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next paragraph, applying the research. So after all we're talking about, the question needs to be asked, so what? Okay, we've got this, so what? How do we apply it? How will it help us in the future? And so we're going to apply the research. Gordon, help us in this next paragraph, please.
So we learned that the findings from this research can be used to improve a variety of technologies. And we have the phrase, in the near term. The near term is what's coming soon. We're not looking for the big picture here, a long time away, but right now it can help us. And those technologies include symbol-based systems such as gestures, dance moves, and spoken and sign language. This makes me think of modern-day game systems and computer systems that can recognize human movements. I know there's a computer game machine called the Wii.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And they can set up sensors and they can recognize you dancing and moving and stuff. So I suppose this artificial intelligence technology can be used to improve those those things which are already out there in the market.
Yes, yes. My friends have some of these game components, and you stand in front of it and it can recognize gestures. If your arm goes up, it can actually give you an idea of how accurate you are at imitating the dance moves that are on the screen. And that's the game, is to be as close as possible to the professional dancer on the screen. And if you can imitate what that dancer is doing, you get a high score. And so the computer has like this camera that's watching you, and it can actually watch you dance and compare to what's going on the screen. So that's kind of cool. So we can apply this research to gaming and video games. But the research could also shed fresh light on how learning happens in young humans, the scientists pointed out. And this is something, Gordon, you talked about at the beginning of yesterday's lesson. We can learn more about ourselves through this research. Talk more about that for us.
Yeah, exactly. To create these artificial intelligence, the algorithms that create more algorithms and stuff, the scientists who are writing these programs, they're going to know exactly what's going on in the artificial intelligence, in the computers, as it's learning, as it's improving. And that understanding of the machine can be mapped back onto the humans, and we might learn more about how we learn as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you think that's helpful?
Yeah, I think sure. Of course it is.
Is it dangerous?
It depends. It all depends. You know, I think machines have a long way to go when it comes to learning as quickly as humans. But I think this has been probably a major breakthrough.
Yeah. I feel like humans are so diverse that to stick like a certain track in us and say, this is how we learn, this is how everyone learns, I think that generally and broadly there are certain, for sure, there are concepts that can apply to everybody. But to say that each person, this is how everyone learns, because we're so different, right?
Right.
I feel like some of us are, we learn more with our eyes. Some people are tactile and they learn by touching things, and some people need to hear things, and it's just so complicated. And to think that we can create some algorithms that, again, it could be useful. I'm a little skeptical. I'm sure you're sensing that in my voice already. Mm-hmm. Well, friends, we'd love to hear what you think about artificial intelligence. Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's a dangerous thing? If you have an opinion, we'd love to hear it. Please write us at studioclassroom.com and share your thoughts with us. Thank you again for joining us today for this month's technology article. We'll have another lesson for you soon. Until then, my name is Steve, and for all of us at Advanced, have a great day.